Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up? This is DeJuan Boyd, a.k.a. DJ Rabbit, representing Rabbit Productions, hanging out chilling with my girl, Cy Boogie. That's right, Cy Brown, right here on LifeRemixedRadio.com. Say word.
Oh, I love it. I'm still getting used to my new opening. I love it. I love it. I love it. DeJuan, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, my buddy. Thank you, my friend. And just so you know, don't tell DeJuan, I've reached out to him and asked him to be my resident engineer. So I am so excited. I just love my opening. But anyway, you know what else I'm loving this week? I don't know about anybody else, but I discovered, I don't even know how to say her name. I think it's Solange, Beyonce's baby sister, that song, I Decided. I mean, I was born in the 70s, but that song has such like a little 60s feel to me, and I find myself singing I Decided this whole weekend. I was actually just listening to it on YouTube. I think what I'm going to do is probably upload it to my site, because that is like my new favorite song right now. But let me get into the show stuff. I just want to let you know you're listening right now to Life Remix Radio, broadcasting live weekdays at 12 noon from Times Square, New York City. It is hot in the city. I think it's probably like 90-something degrees already. I'm your host, Cy Brown, bringing you a daily dose of urban inspiration where we share conversations, solutions, and all types of tips and words of wisdom just so you can experience success in every area of your life. Just want to let you know today's show is brought to you by the Unlock Your Dreams Conference. This event, I have to say, I am being honored August 9th at the Holiday Inn right here in Times Square in New York City. And the whole concept of the Unlock Your Dreams Conference is really just to bring some heavy hitters together. So people who are trying to unlock their dreams and start their business actually can engage with individuals such as myself who unlock their dream and are actually living their dream right now. So, excuse me, I was just drinking some water before I went on the air. This event is hosted by Cheryl Salt Ray of Salt and Pepper, and so I'm just like so excited to just see her and be in her presence, and just such a beautiful woman of God. And it's not necessarily a religious conference, but your mind will be touched, and hopefully your mind will be changed by attending this conference. And this past weekend's conference, the Master Your Mind Weekend that took place at the Sheraton, I spoke at that event. Powerful, powerful, powerful. We are going to host another event in the fall, and we're actually going to record it. So if you miss it, you can get the DVD or you can get the CD. So last week's sponsor was the Master Your Mind Weekend Conference that went off flawlessly. And now our new sponsor is the Unlock Your Dreams Conference taking place in August. For more information on the Unlock Your Dreams Conference, please log on to www.unlockyourdream.info. The chat line is now open for those of you who want to call in. Wait till I tell you what we're talking about today. It is going to blow you away. But for those of you that want to call in, just jot the number down, 347-633-9113. Again, 347-633-9113. The podcast will be available through iTunes shortly after the broadcast. And I just want to say, today we're talking about the other side. We're talking about transitions. We will be talking with Andrea Garrison, who is the author of Crossing Over with Maddie Pearl. And I was actually on another show with her, and it was a show talking about authors and books. But it was so cool because here we are gathering together to talk about the whole process of publishing, self-publishing, being an author. And I was so intrigued by the concept of her book of transitions and crossing over. Y'all know I always thank my producer Shamika. I was like, Shamika, we got to get this lady on the show. And she made it happen. So, I mean, Matter of fact, let me just bring her in right now so she can join us and join in on the conversation. Andrea, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hello there,
Hi,
Si.
Honey. How are you?
I'm just fine. How are you doing? You're so nice
I'm
to be with
well.
You again.
Woohoo!
I was so impressed with you when we met on that call.
Oh, look, I'm not even paying her, everybody. How about that? I'm not, she's not even getting a check from me for this. No, just kidding. You know what? The whole show, the whole concept of Life Remixed is where my entire generation, Gen X, that unknown generation, the generation that nobody knows what to do with, we have to look at things from a very different perspective from that in which our parents taught us, and death being one of them. I remember the first time I heard the word transition, I said, what is that? Because, you know, I grew up in a black church. Somebody died. That's just the way you heard it. Somebody died. And it wasn't until in 2003 when I really started to explore what life was, what life meant, what the act did I understand. We don't die. Like, we're going to get into that. We just don't die. And for those of you who think we die after death and that is it, it is my recommendation and my heartfelt prayer that you learn more, but hang up now. Turn your speakers off now. Shut the show off because that's not what this show is about. If you are ready to learn more, open your mind and open your consciousness to what life really is about, then I encourage you to stay with us and turn up your speakers. So it's, Andrea, it's really my honor and just a privilege to have the opportunity to interview you and engage in a conversation. And just so you know, this is a special one-hour show with Andrea. Let me just read a little bit about you so my listeners know who you are. I'm still in book mode. I said readers, right? So my listeners know who you are. Then I'll give you an opportunity. And then I'm jumping right into my questions. Is that okay with you?
No, it's perfectly fine.
Okay, cool. Now, protocol says I read this, but then we're going to get down with the good questions in a minute. Crossing Over with Maddie Pearl is an inspirational true story as told by her daughter about a woman's spiritual journey to the other side. Maddie Pearl gives vivid details about what she sees and hears before she crosses over. Her journey opens the door to those who have always believed that there is something more. It is a story of love, hope, and encouragement for all of us who will eventually move on beyond this physical life. Okay, now setting that, Andrea,
yes.
My grandfather was in a hospital, and they rushed into the hospital, and it was funny, we lived in Jersey City. I told my grandmother, at this point he had already been in the hospital a couple of days. And I said, Grandma, I'm on my way. I'll meet you and Daddy at the hospital. I had my son and my two children with me. And by the time we got to the hospital, we unfortunately just missed my grandmother by like 15 minutes. And I said, when I walked in the room, I'm like, oh, my God, he's sleeping. And my husband said, oh, you know, he's sleeping. And, I turned around to my kids, and I was like, shut up. He's sleeping. You know, don't make any noise. So I said to my husband, let me go into the hallway, let Grandma know we're here, you know, find out where she is, and, you know, we'll go to the house and let him rest and come back. Well, she says, well, I'm at the house. I just left the hospital. I told my husband. We left the hospital. We got to my grandmother's house. We were not there for 15 minutes, and the hospital called and says my grandfather just passed away. Now, I believe that he was already gone by the time we got there. So in that short span of 15 minutes, something happened. But I'm sharing this because of what I'm getting ready to tell you. I was very suspicious when we walked in the room because he didn't move. Normally, even if someone is asleep, they'll flinch, they'll move, they'll do something, and he did not. The irony is, once all the dust settled in the funeral, I had a conversation with my grandmother, and this is what she said. She said before she left, she said, Chester, I'm getting ready to go home. Saeed and the kids will be over. And he told her, Lily and Charlie said, go get my shoes. And my grandmother said, huh? What are you talking about? And he said to her in a faint whisper, Charlie is waiting for me. Go get my shoes. And my grandmother blew it off. Chester, you don't know what you're talking about. I'm going home.
Right.
Now, no more than 15 minutes after that is when my family and I got there. Needless to say, Charlie has been dead for years. Can you pick up from there?
Well, what was happening at that point is he was actually connecting with the other side. Because one of the things that my mom told me, and I'll tell you, my mom, Maddie Pearl, actually said there's preparation before and there's preparation after. And she also said that you connect with people that you know, that you're familiar with, who've crossed over, and that's kind of a way of, it's kind of like leading the way or preparing you to make that journey, to make you feel welcome. So basically what your grandfather was doing at that very moment was connecting. He wasn't seeing things. He was actually having a glimpse of the other side and, you know, feeling comfortable about making that journey.
Is that kind of what you talk about in the book?
Well, in the book, well, I'll give you some background. Basically,
please.
What happened is my mom had been battling cancer for a number of years. And in September of 2004, we had gotten a call, we meaning me and my sister, to go to her in Connecticut, because she was in Connecticut at the time. And so we went to the hospital, and the doctor basically told us that there wasn't really much that he could do for her, and he gave her 3 to 6 months to live. And at that very moment, knowing what I knew about the tumor and how aggressive it was growing, I knew in my heart, if my mom lasts 6 weeks, you know, we'll be lucky if she lasts 6 weeks. So I knew at that very moment that she wasn't going to last, the 3 to 6 months that he said. But, you know, oftentimes I think one of the toughest things for doctors is to be in that situation where they have to tell a family that there's not much that I can do. And I think they always give, no one really knows, but I think they always give you, you know, the longer date as opposed to the shorter, because it is very difficult to tell a family that. So at that very moment, you know, my mom looked at me, and I kind of knew, we didn't say anything, but I knew that it was shorter than that. And so at that moment, I knew that it wasn't about dying at that point, that it was about living, and it was about being there for her, giving to her, to help her during this time, and that these were very, very precious moments that I would have, you know, forever. And so we just decided, she didn't want to be in the hospital. She didn't want to go to a home hospice facility. She would have, if that's all, you know, that we could do, or we weren't able to do it, but she really wanted to go home. And so we decided that we would do whatever we could to honor her wishes and to take her home. And so that's what we did. And we did 24-hour care. And I had very special conversations with her. And basically what I did is I encouraged my mom to talk. I mean, I wasn't afraid of what she'd say. I knew that I could never get these moments again. So I wanted to, you know, get the most out of them. So basically we did 24-hour care, which is very, very hard. It's very hard spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally. It's one of the toughest things that you can do, is to care for someone, you know, during that particular time. But it turned out to be very, very spiritually uplifting, and one of the most positive things I've ever done in my entire life. My mom, who was very, very quiet, actually, I couldn't believe how popular she was. I mean, it's just funny how you, when you look at your parents, you just see them as ma,
right,
or dad,
right.
You don't really think of them outside of that.
Right.
But my mom, I mean, you would have thought almost she had so many visitors, you almost would have thought she was a celebrity, because people were coming, you know, all ages. I mean, younger people, middle age, older, were visiting her. I can even remember an uncle, a great uncle of mine, who was in his 90s, who was still driving, who came to visit and brought her flowers. But people were coming. I guess, you know, everyone knew that she wasn't going to be around long.
Mm-hmm.
And they were coming to uplift her and to uplift us. But actually the reverse was happening. She was uplifting them. Now, my mom was not heavily medicated, and she was, I guess, I assume that she was in a lot of physical pain, even though you would never have seen it on her face.
Mm-hmm.
She refused to take the heavy meds because she wanted to be alert. She wanted to be able to greet all her visitors and to have conversations with them. You know, she had things to say to people, you know, whether she appreciated
right.
them or whatever it was. So what happened is people were going in to cheer her up, and I guess they were going, didn't know what they were going to expect, but she was laughing and joking and cheering them up. So most people were leaving kind of teary-eyed. Even some
right.
of the toughest people, you know, that you kind of never see tearing, were leaving like, wow, I was expecting to go in to uplift her, but she was uplifting them. So it was just, I can't even, words just seem so inadequate, really,
right.
When I tell you what it was like being there with her. And I just sat at her bedside and, you know, gave her, you know, whatever she could eat and whatever she could drink. And I also wanted to say that oftentimes not everyone could do, you know, what we did. You know, not everyone can do 24-hour care. It's a very tough thing to do.
Right.
But the important thing to remember is to do whatever you can do. Maybe it's just visiting them and maybe reading them a poem or playing music for them or just sitting by their side, just letting them know that you care and holding their hand. You know, not everyone can do what we do, and no one should ever feel guilty about what they can't do. It's just doing what you can do. Because what I also learned from her is that she appreciated everything.
Mm.
If you just came by to visit her, she was so thankful. And so she was actually a gracious host, even though she was pretty much bedridden. She was a gracious host to everyone that came in the door. She made them feel welcome, and I think everyone was just so uplifted.
We have, please forgive me for the interruption, I believe we have a caller. Caller from 787-414, are you just listening in or do you have a question for Andrea?
I would like to tell you that I met Maddie Pearl at the time she's talking about.
Wow. Can you, I mean, I'm not trying to influence, but can you just give us a, you know, 1 or 2 minute glimpse on your experience?
Exactly. I had been looking forward to meeting Maddie Pearl for quite some time, and I was very sad that it was under these circumstances, but when I walked into the room, it was like so bright. She was like a light. And I know that she was in a lot of pain, but she was bright. She knew where she was going and what was going to take place. Just from her conversations, you got that. She made you feel happy. And I read the book. I got the DVD. I got all of it. And believe me, it is inspiring. One of the most inspiring things I've experienced in a long time. Having lost my mother some years ago, just wonderful.
Well, I want to thank you so much for being so candid and sharing with us. To everyone who's listening, you're speaking now with Andrea Garrison, who agreed to come on the show and talk about her book, DVD, and what is, it's also a CD, correct, Andrea?
Right. What I wanted to do is actually when I sat down to do it, I had decided that I wanted to do a book. And basically how that evolved, I mean, if you had said to me 5, 6 years ago, oh, Andrea, you're going to write this book, I would have looked at you and said, yeah, right, maybe. But, I mean, I was into writing, like, poetry, and I thought about maybe doing a children's book somewhere in the back of my mind, but never seriously. So I would have said probably not. But what happened is after my mom crossed over is I would share some of the experiences, which I hope to go over while I'm on the call today.
Absolutely.
I shared some of the experiences that I had with her, and most people said, I'm so happy you told me that because I just lost someone, or I remember when I lost this person or that, and I never really got over it, but I feel better now. And I had one woman who actually read the book who had just lost her mother, and she said, I wish I had it before my mother had left because my mother was so afraid of dying, and this would have been so comforting to her. But
wow.
I had so many people say, well, you should do something with the story, that you should either write an article or do something, because people need to know this, because people need to understand that actually death is a part of life, though I don't mention the word death at all. And the reason why I don't mention the word death is because death seems so final.
Mm-hmm.
So I really just speak of it in terms of, you know, the physical body certainly goes, but there's more to us than just the physical body. And
right.
From the time that I was a child, I never believed in death. And I didn't know why. I just never believed that you're born here and you die here, and that's it. It was a difficult concept for me to understand as a child growing up. So that, and I had another experience as a child that kind of confirmed for me that there is something more. And then, of course, the experience with my mother confirmed for me that there is something more. So I felt more and more as I would share the story, you know, with people in conversation. And it always would be from the heart. You know, something would just say, you know, you need to tell them about your experience with your mom, Maddie Pearl. And I would tell them, and they were always so happy. So I sat down one day in October of 2007 and said, I'm going to sit down and do this book. But then I thought, well, I don't want to just do a book because not everyone has time to read. And some people just, they're always on the go, so listening would work. I also thought about people who are blind, and it would be good for them to be able to listen to the story because I didn't know how to do Braille. And then I figured since my background is video that I might as well do a DVD and then people can watch it because there are some people that just like to watch, you know, watch things. So my approach when I sat down was, okay, now, how do I do this? And I said, I'm not writing three things. So I'm going to write this once, and I have to write it so you can read it, so you can listen to it, so you can watch it. And that
was, so you're catching all the senses.
Mm-hmm. So I sat there, and I decided the approach was to almost treat it like prose. And so that's what I did. I didn't want it, because it could be a heavy topic, and
yes.
I didn't want it to be too overwhelming with too much on the page, you know, for people to handle.
Right.
So I made it, so basically there's essentially like a paragraph on each page, but each page is a very complete thought, and I wanted the spacing on the page so people could reflect, and even if they wanted to jot notes or whatever, they could reflect on their own friends, families, or whatever, or even a pet. Because, I mean, even the crossing over of a pet, a family pet, could be a very difficult time. And it's the same kind of thing because it's the passing, you know, of a soul. A soul is just leaving the physical body and moving on, you know, to another place. And so basically, I wrote the book, and then I said, okay, I'll record it. I recorded it, and then the DVD, I added pictures. Now, the challenge with the DVD was what pictures to add, and I didn't want it to be too distracting because really the essence, you know, of it is really a book. And I didn't want it to be too flashy so that people would get lost into these pictures and not focus on the story of Maddie Pearl. So I kept it simple and just used mainly nature scenes so that people could kind of reflect or even kind of meditate. And I think I succeeded in doing that, at least I hope so. That was my objective. And I did two versions. I did one with subtitles, and I did one without subtitles for the hearing impaired. So I sat down. I did all this not knowing how I would get it published, what I would do next.
Right.
Because it really flowed from the heart. And I was telling, your assistant, your booker, Shamika, yesterday, that I'm still having trouble dealing with the term author, because I really don't feel like I'm the author. I really feel like more of a vehicle, and that my mom, you know, gave me this gem of a story. My mom, Maddie Pearl, gave me this gem of a story, not for me to keep, but for me to tell and to share, to help others.
Maybe you can give her authorship and then put as told by.
Right. Well, yeah, but it's already done. And
oh.
And kind of, in even it's actually both of our story, but I mean, I do have, if you know what I mean, sometimes I have trouble with the term author for that reason, because I really feel like the story is so beyond me. You know,
right.
It's just so, and it's even beyond Maddie Pearl. It just goes so much further than that. So, but that's just something that I'm grappling with. But I do accept the fact that I was a vehicle for her story and was willing to sit down, you know, to put it all together. And I'm quite grateful to my mom for giving me such a wonderful experience for me to share. Because what was so unusual about it is my mom was basically very conscious and aware of everything up until the day she left. Even the very morning that she left, she said to me, "I'm going today."
Wow.
And I looked at her and I said,
wow.
"Mom, but you haven't seen such and such and such
wow.
and such." And then she stopped and she said, "You're right. I haven't seen this person and I haven't seen that person. And it would be nice to see them." But then she said, "But aren't you tired
wow.
of seeing me suffer?" And I said, "Yes, Mom, I'm tired of seeing you suffer."
So she was very cognizant of her surroundings.
Exactly. That day she announced, "I'm going today," that morning early. And then later in the day she said to my sister, "Get ready."
Oh, Jesus, I don't know if I think that's what I would have probably just been like, what? But you know what, I'm saying that now looking in. I think if I was in such that peaceful place as you were, it probably would not have been as surprising or like the shock factor, because I've been listening to your voice and I've been very, very quiet. I've been given some wonderful gifts by God that I'm not even going to get into, but there is such a peace that rests within your voice. It's almost scary. It's so peaceful. I want to touch on caller from 787. I didn't get his name, unfortunately, but he talked about her glow. And just me and my studies of metaphysics, is that like how they talk about chakras and the colors and things like that? Did you see that coming from your mother?
Well, my mother had it's a funny thing. Now, this is not in the book.
Okay.
But the Saturday before she left, there were so many stories that I had. I just couldn't put everything in there. But my mom had worked in the operating room for a long time, and she knew. She was very much aware of what was going on with her physical body, very much in tune with it. And a
mm-hmm.
lot of people are not in tune with their body, but she was. She
mm-hmm.
told me the Saturday before that rigor mortis was setting in. She told me that. But you got to remember, I was very open to my mom, and my mom knew that I could handle.
Right.
She wasn't as candid with my sister
because she knew.
She knew my sister, you know, and you know, and so this is. You know, I was like, okay, Mom, she would tell me something, and I would like, okay, tell me more, Mom. You know, like she talked about seeing the brightest colors and the most beautiful flowers. Colors, she said, colors like I've never seen before, and flowers like I've never seen before, and sounds like I've never heard before, and the most enchanting music. And she just, you know, she was excited. And I was like, Mom, tell me more. So I was kind of encouraging her. And she's like, you don't see it? And I'm like, no, Mom, I don't see it. She's
because you weren't there.
Well, I
because
was,
you...
right. I was there, but I wasn't. And I'm like, Mom, tell me more, because I wish I could see what you see, but I cannot. And so I encouraged her. So, you know, if they feel... they're very much aware. And a lot of times people say, oh, they're talking out of their head. But no, they know. It's just that they're between two places. But if they think that you can handle it.
They'll tell you.
They'll tell you. And I was like, you know, like I said, since I was a kid, I never believed in death anyway.
Right.
So I was like, wow, here's my mom telling me what she's seeing, what's going on, and this, that, and the other. So I was...
It's almost as if you were predisposed for this at such a young age. I want to ask you, do you get visitations from your mother now still or no? That's it.
Well, you know, I have to tell you, when I was before she crossed over, I said, Mom, I want you to come back and visit me.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, and whatever way you can do, because I said, I don't know what the rules are on the other side.
That sounds like something I would say. Look, I have to joke. That's, you know, that sounds like something I would say. I don't know what the rules are, so can you help me out?
I said, but whatever they are, you see if they'll let you come back and visit me. And so she was quiet for a moment, and she says, she said, I'll see what I can do.
I don't mean to laugh, but I swear that sounds like something like not to be facetious, and I don't want my listeners, and I have people in the chat room hitting me up, Dropping Seed Radio just shared with me, these are the testimonies that keeps my faith going, great show. So these are people that visit me all the time and listen to my show, and so they know I'm a little quirky. And I say, and I make light of this, but it's not to make light of the topic, but like you're saying to someone who's about to transition, like, can you just holler back when you get a chance? And she's like, I'll see what I can do. Like, this really almost sounds like we're writing a script for something. You know what I mean? Like, it's, and I think you know, just, I'm not making light of this.
Oh,
it's
no,
like,
no, no. But this, like, is what she would want you to do. Yeah, because it's about living. And yes, and if you believe that there's something more, then yes, you will see them again. Now, and see, that's the thing. So, see, she didn't want people to be sitting around crying. She wanted to be people to be uplifted. And the thing that's so beautiful about those that we love and care about, they really hold on as long as they can to make sure that their loved ones are okay. My mom was not going anywhere till she knew that her daughters would be okay, would be able to handle it. And I really believe to this day she would have waited another week, another 2 weeks if she had to make sure. She wanted to make sure that we could handle the fact that she was crossing over. And that was the most important thing to her. Also, she had certain people that she needed to see. I went through the same thing, similar, not as vivid, with my dad. Both of my parents were diagnosed with cancer before they left. So physically it was cancer that hit both of my parents. But even my dad, before he left, he really wanted to see his sister, my Aunt June, and he really wanted to eat some of my Aunt June's food because she could cook. I mean, she was really... And he, even though he couldn't eat, he wanted to have some of his sister's cooking.
Right.
And so she went to his bedside, and this is what I mean by bringing the smallest thing can make a difference. Just to see her face, and she brought him potato soup, and quite, which was perfect because he could barely swallow.
Right.
And she brought him potato soup, and you could tell that that was the best soup that he had ever had in his life. And
wow.
You know that shortly after he saw his sister and had that potato soup, he left a couple of days later. Because
wow.
that's what he was waiting for. He was waiting for her cooking. He wanted to eat some of her food before he left. I guess because, you know, when you're on that spiritual plane, you don't have to eat potato soup. You know, you're
right.
getting your nourishment otherwise. And he wanted to taste some of the potato soup before he
that
left.
That is amazing. And you know what? This is just, you know, in my own studies, and I say this, everybody knows on my show, I just blurt it out, and I'm so blatantly honest. I think I have no private life left now that I'm on the air every single day. I lived with my grandmother, who's 87 years old, up until July 1st.
Right.
I just moved, just for so many various reasons. One night, I felt her very, very tired. And I couldn't figure out what it was. I shared a special connection with my grandmother, and I still can't figure it out. And the message that I got back was that she needed to make sure that I was okay.
Right.
And that's when you just said that. If I had a glass in my hand, I would have dropped it. You know, like, oh, my God. So I'm not nuts. Do you see what I'm saying?
Right.
And what happens is I'm 37, and what's happening is going back to the concept of this show, it's life remixed.
Exactly.
Just as I'm just going to use black people because that's what I am and what I know best.
Right.
These are things we're not taught. These are things that nobody tells us. These are not things that we learn in church. And then when we do our own self-exploration and bring it back to our family, girl, you know you better not mess with that. Girl, you know the Lord ain't going to be pleased with you. I don't know why you messing with that stuff. When, in fact, I'm coming asking, like, can somebody help me?
Right.
Can somebody help me understand? There's a church I went to called Hillside Chapel and Truth Center in Atlanta, Georgia. This church changed my life. And you know what's funny? I was out at a networking event, and everybody in Atlanta is affiliated with the church. Mega church, popular church. Like, churches in Atlanta are just like the gathering place. And I mentioned to someone, they said, well, where do you go to church? Most people attend Creflo Dollar or Eddie Long. I said, well, I attend Hillside over on Cascade. And I got a look as if my head just turned blue. And I was whispered, well, you might want to rethink that church, because at this point I was still new in Atlanta. And I was told that that church is a cult, that church is they like talk about the devil and stuff. And I went home and I chuckled to my husband and I said, you know what, baby, we really must be onto something good. The church is not a cult. They talk about truth. They talk about light. They talk about transitioning versus dying. They don't even allow... They don't even bring corpses into the church because their church is about life and the celebration of life, and they engage in conversations about spirits and souls. And at the time, I was 32 years old. This was so foreign to me. I swear you could have been teaching me Chinese
right.
or Japanese.
Right.
So to have another person such as yourself offer so much, it's just, oh, my goodness, it's just beautiful. I just got a message on the chat. The name of the church was Hillside Chapel and Truth Center, and Dr. Barbara is the pastor. I want to go back to you, Andrea, and talk a little bit about, I'm going to spend a lot more time talking about the actual process of the book, but I really want to get into the content of the story and your experience with your mom.
Yeah, I wanted to read a couple of excerpts before the show ends.
Please, go right ahead. Feel free. Absolutely.
Yeah, did you have anything specific you wanted to ask me about my mom?
Well, I did. Once she crossed over to the other side, how did you feel, you as a person? Was it more like, I can breathe, or were you anticipating, okay, what's next? How is this relationship going to continue?
Well, you know, it's funny. I remember the funeral, and my mom, I have to tell you another thing that my mom did, which was quite a blessing is ever since we were children, she always prepared us for the day that she would leave.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of parents are afraid to talk to their children about that. But ever since we were, in fact, she used to talk about it so much, we would be like, oh, please, Mom. And I remember one time she said to me, she was telling me how she wanted her funeral to be. And I said, Mom, you know what? In that situation, I'll probably be so stressed out. You write everything down for me, exactly how you want it, and I'll do exactly what you say, exactly. So my mom listened to me, actually,
mm-hmm.
and did everything. So when she physically left, we looked at this sheet. She had her everything. Her obituary was written. Her picture was picked out. Her dress that she wanted. We really didn't have to do anything. I mean, she was detailed to the point where she says, I don't want a lot of flowers. I want one spread on the casket. I want three displays. I don't want to be in people to be in church all day long because some people can't sit that long. And, you know, we historically,
wow.
some African-American funerals can go all day and all night.
Baby.
She says, no, no, no. She's like,
I know.
So my mom was like, I don't want any of that. I want it to be very simple. And so I thought, you know, we... And it's funny, the day that I was there, it was about a little bit less than an hour, which is unreal for our family because we traditionally sometimes have 3-4 hour funerals.
Yes, that's why I'm not. See, there's that little chuckle from me again. That's why all I could say to you was, baby, I know. I one time, just as a quick sidebar, my husband and I went to a baptism of a baby, and we didn't eat before service. We went to the 11 o'clock service. We did not leave until 3:30, and I can't lie. We did not get out at 3:30, and we were supposed to go to the people's house, you know, for a barbecue. We took our kids and went to a restaurant because we were starving.
I know.
So I'm sorry. I just had to get that in there.
But she was just so organized. She even says, and I want the food catered. I don't want the church to try to get this person and that
wow.
person preparing. Make it very easy on everybody. I want
wow.
I want there to be enough food for everyone to eat the same thing, not where this person bought collard greens and it ran out and they didn't get their collard greens. Because,
oh, my goodness.
You know what I mean? She was just so, but, and so when we laugh about it, but my mom was ready and I have to tell you, that made things so much easier.
Wow.
For us. So as I stood there, in the church and there with her physical body, and I looked, I didn't really recognize the body there because I knew my mom had left.
Wow.
So I really didn't feel the grief because
right.
I knew that my mom was where she could see those beautiful flowers that she described
right.
and those colors that she couldn't describe. She said, these are colors like I've never seen before. And there's sounds like I've never heard before. Beautiful, beautiful sounds. And don't you hear it? And I'm like, Mom, I don't, but I wish I could. And I
right.
knew that that's where she was, that she wasn't there. And I looked out and I thought, boy, my mom was such a quiet woman. But she was very kind and generous and very, she was the kind of person you could call her at 3 o'clock in the morning and she would talk to you because she figured if you called at 3 a.m. it's because you had no one to talk to and you needed to talk.
And it was for a reason.
The church was packed. And that's why I'm saying it was kind of like, boy, she's like a celebrity. The church on a Tuesday afternoon when we had the service, it was packed. And
wow.
we had to have police escorts. This is for a quiet woman who I just
wow.
call Ma.
right, right,
and
right.
I still can't believe the numbers of people that came out for her. But it just showed, it was just a testament to just how special. Of course she was special to me, but I didn't realize how many other people she had touched. And so it was just very comforting to see so many people who did come out for her.
Wow.
So,
please read an excerpt when you can. I don't want us to run out of time. We're down to 20 minutes. Can you read us an excerpt from the book?
Sure. I will read. This is actually something that I thought was special because it's actually, it connects to when I was a child, as I told you. I
mm-hmm.
never believed in death. And when I was a child, my mom told me this story. And I thought it was kind of appropriate to put it in the book because it kind of gives a sense of my roots in terms of not believing, you know, that this
mm-hmm.
is just it. I knew that my, let me just go to the beginning, I'm sorry.
This
I will
is
never...
amazing. Oh, I'm sorry. Everyone, you're listening to, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. You're listening to Andrea Garrison, who is the author of Crossing Over with Maddie Pearl. Just to, if you have any questions for Andrea, please call 347-633-9113. She is available to take your questions. Thank you so much, Andrea, if you're ready to read now.
Yes. I will never forget the time when my mom told me the story of how her father, at the age of 27, gathered the entire family at the dinner table. They prayed, and he told my grandmother and their five children, two girls and three boys, all under the age of 8, that he had seen his mother and father in a dream. In the dream, his mom and dad were calling on him to join them on the other side. He did not want to leave my grandfather, he did not want to leave my grandmother and his five children, but he had a greater calling that required him to leave, for it was time for him to join his mom and dad on the other side. There was work for him to do with his parents on the other side. My grandfather, for the next month, made preparations for his departure by chopping extra wood for the fireplace and doing other things around the home. He wanted to do as much as he could for his family during the short remaining time that he was here. No one believed that he was going because he was a healthy 27-year-old with a full life in front of him. But my grandfather knew otherwise. 1 month later, from that day, when he sat his wife and five children at the table, he left this physical earth to join his mom and dad. I was always moved by that story about my grandfather. I always felt that he was one of my guardian angels watching over me as a child and even now as an adult. There was always this special connection that I had with him, even though physically we never met. I knew that my grandfather was special and very spiritual, and that is why he was able to communicate with his mom and dad on the other side. I know that one day I will meet him in a dream and on the other side, and I look forward to meeting this very spiritual soul, this very handsome man, my grandfather, with the beautiful, penetrating eyes.
Wow. I want to touch on the fact that you said the people in your within your sphere of influence kind of knew. Do you think that ability is kind of hereditary or that everybody has it?
That's a good question. I think that we all have it. I just think that some of us are more tapped into it. You know, it's they say there are some, you know, that are believers and some who are somewhat, I guess. You know, there are some people it's like, show me.
Right.
I have to see it to believe it. I was never that kind of person. You know,
right.
I always just had this faith. It's like I didn't have to see God to know that God is here.
Right.
And, so I've always felt that. And even as a small child, before my mother told me that story about my grandfather. But
mm-hmm.
that was very comforting to me because I was like, wow, I always, you know, and I think I heard that story when I was 8 years old. And so
wow.
So I was like, wow, I always believed that there was something more, you know. And it's funny, I was thinking about, now this was a child, I'll never forget this child, and her name was Cornelia. And I must have been about 8 or 9, and she was 4 years old. And she was the daughter of someone who was very close to our family.
Mm-hmm.
And there was something special about this child. I swear, I always thought she was an angel. She was just, you know, we've all met people like that, whether they're children mm-hmm. or adults, that just, I don't know, they just touch us, though, with, the, you know, their hearts and
mm-hmm.
their spirit. Well, Cornelia became sick one day at age 4, and her father was heartbroken because the doctors told him, you know, that she had had a brain tumor at age 4 years old. And it was his only child, and I remember him being so heartbroken.
Mm-hmm.
And he went to see her in the hospital, and she looked up at her dad with a smile on her face and, you know, just joy in her heart, and said, "Daddy, I've seen Jesus."
Wow.
And she left that night, and she was 4 years old. No relation to me. And so I just think that some people are just a little bit more in tune. I think we're all connected. I think it's about, you know, opening up your heart to make that connection. And but, you know, the world sometimes is tough, and it makes people cynical. It makes people hardened. And it's really about softening up your heart and opening it up so that you can have these experiences. Now, the beauty of the story of Maddie Pearl, and I really think it's divine that I'm here to tell it, and that's why it was given to me, and I have a responsibility to tell her story, is that there are many other people out there who have these stories and have these experiences, but they don't even realize it. Because since I've written the book, and when I have conversations with people, they'll say, "I remember when my grandmother left, she said this." And I'm
mm-hmm.
thinking about what you said. Oh, and I remember. So
yep.
it's actually making people connect with their own families and their own friends. And this is why I chose to use nature. My goal, actually, is to do a feature-length movie on the story.
Wow.
Because there's so many other things. There was an interesting event that we had, and you're going to laugh about this, but the home hospice nurse came to visit us. And she was trying to tell us to give my mom more medicine. And my mom didn't want more medicine because she
mm-hmm.
She wanted to be conscious. If you came to
right.
see her, she wanted to know who you were and talk. She was like, "No, I don't want that."
Right.
So the nurse was like, "Your mom's in a lot of pain." And I was like, "No, absolutely not. I'm not doing it." My mom said no. And I say, "No, she could speak for herself. If she wants more medicine, we'll give it to her. So far, she's not asking for it. We're not giving it to her." So we're standing there, and we're talking. This is outside her room, and she was kind of laying in there like she was kind of asleep. Well,
mm-hmm.
she yells out, "The hearing is the last to go, you know." Now, that's not in the book, but she was like, you could see, she was like, yes. She was so happy that I was
yep.
fighting for her.
Yep.
Because what happens at that point, when you have a mother like mine who was very strong, one of the toughest things is to not be able to fight for yourself.
Great.
And one of the highest honors to be given is to be trusted that you will fight for them, that you will honor their wishes, that you will not put yourself in there and say, "Well, this is what I would do," but do what they say. Because
right.
it's the highest honor and responsibility to honor someone's last request. It's a
right.
trust, you know, to do that. And I wanted to say also that my mom, you know, was very strong, like many women are, very
mm-hmm.
strong. And it was very hard for her to see her daughters taking care of her. And I told her, not to feel bad, because quite honestly, if the shoe were on the other foot, she would take care of us.
Of course.
I told her that she had worked all her life, and she did all that she could for us, and that she did everything to make things comfortable for her daughters, and that she had earned the right for us to be there with her, to take care of her, and not to feel bad, because she earned the right, and she was quiet. after that.
How beautiful.
And so,
oh my goodness.
I really hope that the people who are listening, whether it's live or archived, will read the book, The Crossing Over of Mattie Pearl, listen to the CD, listen to the DVD. It is The Crossing Over of Mattie Pearl, and it's on Amazon.com and CreateSpace.com. And the beauty of it is that this is true, and hopefully what it'll do is awaken those wonderful stories that you have in your own life that you are experiencing every single day.
This is so beautiful. This is absolutely beautiful. And I'm sitting here just thinking, just listening to your voice. You have one of the most peaceful voices I've ever heard in my life. I could just hear you sing or say the alphabet, put it on a tape, and it would put like every baby to sleep at like 6:30 when their parents want, you know. It's just so soothing. But you know what? I'm listening to what you're saying, and I'm so quiet, and I'm such a chatty Kathy. I guess that's why I have a show where I talk all, you know, for the whole show. But I'm sitting here thinking of two instances where I have experienced what you're talking about. And I don't know if this is the same thing. I just want to drop this. We're down to the last couple of minutes of the show. One night I had a dream, and my aunt, she's older, like my grandmother in her 80s, but she transitioned a few years ago. I saw her. And I had a conversation with her, and all she did was look at me and smile. Like the last vision I had of her was the vision that I saw, and we had an entire conversation, and all she was doing was smiling. Like our thoughts were conversing with each other. Have you ever experienced that with your mom?
Well, you know, actually, I did, as I told you before in the book, I do talk about how I wanted to see her again.
Right.
And I did see her. I visited her in a dream with two other friends. But ironically, this year, around Mother's Day, my mom and I used to chit-chat on the phone all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a dream that I was talking to her on the phone. And then I hung up and said, Mom, I got to call you back. I got something to do. I'll call you right back. And so I hung up and I did whatever I did. I'm dreaming all this. And then I called
mm-hmm.
her back. And we chit-chatted some more, and so then we were hanging up, and she says, well, you've got my number. Anytime you need me, you just call. And that was the last dream that I had of my mom, and that was this year around Mother's Day. And
wow.
So I could say to you all that, you know, nothing is lost. No one is lost forever. And, you know, you will see them again, and just open your heart. And they'll happily visit you.
Does this put to bed the distinction between a heaven and a hell, or just different layers of where you go?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't even want to think about
okay.
Hell for me.
Okay.
I mean, I just know that there's good places to go.
Uh-huh.
After we're here on this earth, and I look forward to joining my mom, Mattie Pearl, and my grandfather, and seeing them all, and kind of getting together and hanging out and having a good time. And I just hope that it gives me a lot of hope and encouragement.
Right.
And I am so grateful in my heart for this story that I've been given.
Well, we're wrapping down the show, and I want to say, Andrea, thank you so much. To purchase, I encourage you, and I'm very bold about this, to please purchase Andrea's book, CD, and DVD. I promise you your life will be changed. Just log on to Life Remixed Radio and click on today's show, and it'll link you directly to Amazon. I just want to thank today's sponsor, the Unlock Your Dreams Conference. And just to let everyone know that I will be keynoting a breakfast in August. I'll give you all of the details about that. Please go to the site. Save it as a favorite. Andrea, do you have a website?
Yes, I do. It's www.andreasgreetings.com.
Okay.
Yes, and you can email me at onlinewithandrea@yahoo.com.
And they can also go to CreateSpace, correct?
Well, to order my book, they can order my book from Amazon.com and CreateSpace.com. And I do all the narration, so if you want to just listen to me read the book, the CD is great. The DVD is wonderful because I do the narration, and I hum some of the songs I sang with my mom.
Well, you know what? Thank you so much, everybody. Pick it up. Thank you for listening. And know you can experience success in every area of your life. Thanks, God, and so it is.
Thank you.